Check one, two, check. Thank you. Leviticus 26. Now you might ask why Leviticus 26. I think that it'll come apparent to you. I realize, and I say this quite a lot, I realize my teaching is unorthodox. I realize I don't come in and have 5 points or an outline. But everything I give you has been sought for. Everything I give you has been prayed about. Everything I give you is with fear. A fear that I might say something of my own that would harm one of God's lambs or God's sheep. That's why I try to use only this. This doesn't need an outline. It's already outlined. It doesn't need explanation. It explains itself. Just like you heard that thunder. That's what John heard when the seal was broken. I don't need to tell you what thunder is. Everyone knows. But if you read it scripturally, thunder, almost every instance in the Bible is referring to judgment, is referring to anger, to wrath, to punishment. And that's what six is. But in Leviticus chapter 26, and I'm going to read, look, I won't get far today. As a matter of fact, I probably won't even see chapter 6 of Revelation. I've got so much to read to you. And that's all I'm going to do is read the Word of God. And I think when I do, and we get to chapter 6, you'll say, oh, now I see. And I think that's the way, best way to learn Scripture. All right, chapter 26 now. Ye shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it. For this very reason, I am the Lord your God. Well, who was it sitting on the throne in chapter 4 and 5? It was the Lord their God. And he was there right this time too. He hasn't left it. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. In other words, you're going to do it because I'm the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season. And the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach into the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely, and I will give you peace in the... I'm going to tell you what, if we had a president that could promise that, he'd get a landslide win, wouldn't he? But they can only make you a vain promise. God says, if you'll hear my word, if you'll keep my word. And the word keep just simply means to guard or to honor. That's all. It doesn't mean the straight and the narrow. It means if you will just honor what I say, if you'll believe what I say, if you'll do what I say, well, I'll bless you. I'll bless you. And that's what he does down there. He just gives them one blessing after another. But then it comes to verse 14. If you will not. So what does that tell you? What does that tell you when he says it will, but if you won't? What does that tell you? Well, here's what that tells you. I have set before you this day a blessing and a cursing. Then what's the next word? Starts with a C, next letter is H. Choose. Choose. Folks, look, it's not hard. God lays salvation in front of every person in this world.
Amen.
And what does he say to them? Choose it. Choose it. That's all. For many are called. Now there's the call. Look, just choose. That's the general call. When Nick preaches from this pulpit, when Dan preaches from that pulpit, at the end of the service, what do? They say, bow your heads. We're going to give an altar call. Why? So that if there's one in here that hasn't made the choice, bless God, before you go out the door, you can make the choice. Because if you don't make that choice, you're going to get cursing. And I don't know. I've never been a preacher. Some say I'm a pre-teacher, but I've never been a preacher. But from what I know teaching, I would say that the greatest burden of any preacher that preaches the gospel is that someone would hear it and go out that door and make the wrong choice. Because he says here, but if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, in other words, he's laying it out, folks. If you don't do what I say, that means you despise me. He's not pulling a punch here. If you won't do what I say do, that means you despise me. He says, if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I will also do this unto you. And appoint over you terror. That word means trouble. That means destruction. Well, that doesn't sound pleasing or pleasant, does it? I mean, all the pleasing and pleasant stuff was when they chose to hear him. But now there's nothing going to be pleasant. You say, well, Tom, why are you doing it? Because when chapter 6 starts in Revelation, there's nothing pleasant about it. We have left heaven. Everything was pleasant in heaven. Hey, 4 and 5, listen, if you wasn't rejoicing, I can't help it. I was. Because that's what they're doing. But John in chapter 6 has left heaven, folks. Now he's seeing what's going to happen on earth. And there won't be anything pleasant. I will set my face against you. I don't find anything pleasing about that. And you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursueth. In other words, you're going to be nothing but scaredy cats. I'll put a terror in you if somebody wiggles a paper. You will jump. Anybody ever seen a cat? You know, cats are sort of that way, aren't they? I mean, that's why we call people scaredy cats. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you. What's that next word? Seven times. How many years in the tribulation? How many seals? How many trumpets? How many vials? Well, I guess that's not new in Revelation then. I guess God's always been that way. Huh? He says, I will yet punish you seven times. In other words, divine judgment's what seven means, folks. He says, and if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heaven an iron and your earth as brass. You won't be able to look down. You won't be able to look up. And I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heaven an iron, your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. And if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I'll bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. You're going to see those plagues. He had, how many plagues was it in Egypt? Thank you. That means completion. But that completion was by man, by earth. This is going to be heaven's judgment, folks. It's going to be divine. It's going to be pure. It's going to be perfect. It's going to be righteous. And so he says, and I will bring a sword upon you that you avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send the, what is that? Huh? What is a pestilence? Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's diseases. Diseases from insects. Diseases from dead corpses. All kinds of unseen viruses, unseen bacteria. That creates disease and starts with a D. Next letter's E. Thank you. And I will bring a sword upon you, and that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when you are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and you shall not eat, not be satisfied. What does that tell you? Famine. Famine. You're going to see that a person will work one day to get one loaf of bread. Well, it's not new, is it? He's always been that way. Revelation is just about the culmination of everything he said to Israel, because it's the end. It's how he's going to redeem the remnant of Israel. So then he says this in verse 32. And I will bring the land into desolation. Your enemies shall dwell therein and be astonished at. The Gentiles will take over Jerusalem. Did that happen during the Roman Empire? Yes. Well, at the end, we're going to have what's called the revised Roman Empire. And the Gentiles, once again, are going to tread down Jerusalem. You're going to see death like you've never seen before. And this world will never have seen anything like it before. There are going to be so many dead bodies, they can't bury them. They just lay there and rot. Now listen, I've had some experience of that. Maybe some of you other people have too. But in Vietnam, I've seen dead bodies laying in the road, in the street, half decayed, flies, the stink. Well, folks, that was just here and there. This is going to be on a scale like you can't believe. I'm going to give you some numbers that blow your mind. But it's right out of here. So it's not something I make up. It's right out of here. So then he goes on to say, verse 40, if they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers and their trespass which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then. Let me just sum that up for you. You say, Tom, I didn't get a bit of that. Well, let me just sum it up for you. When you come to the point to where you say, God, I'm being punished not because of you, but because of me. You've got every right to punish me. I've got every right to accept it. I'm confessing that it's all because of me. You had nothing to do with it. He says, then I'll hear you. And then here's what he says he'll do. Then will I remember my covenant with who? Okay. Now, it wasn't but a few. Let's see. I'm trying to think. I don't want to embarrass myself because I said nothing. Was it last week? We had heard a preacher preach on Jacob. And I can't remember if it was, he wrestled with God. I can't remember if that was last week or the week before. It's not that I'm not impressed with that preacher. I am. I was certainly impressed with that message. But folks, my wife will tell you, I wake up every morning trying to figure out what day it is. I try to figure the week now by Wednesday night. Because if I went to church, I know it was Wednesday night, so the next day's Thursday. But by the time Friday gets here, I'm wondering if it's Saturday. So I don't recall, Nick, the Sunday that you preached at. Maybe last Sunday. Can't remember. I know we wrestled with God. But the one that wrestled with God, his name was Jacob. Right. And after he had wrestled with God, he said, God, I ain't let go of you till you bless me. God said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to bless you then. I'm going to call you Israel. So when he's talking about Jacob, you got to remember that. Because you see, Israel then did what? At some point, Israel, you know, if this is together and you pull it apart, it's divided. Thank you. Israel divided. We had 10 tribes and we had 2 tribes. But in Revelation, you won't find that. That won't be mentioned. Oh, it'll be mentioned all through the Old Testament. But you won't find it in Revelation. Why? Because it's time to restore Jacob. It's time to take him right back to how it all got started when wrestling with God turned out good for him. And they were called Israel. So here he's talking about Jacob and he says, then will I remember my covenant unto Jacob and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham, will I remember and will remember the land. Well, that promise, if you check it out, that he made to Abraham and then to Isaac and then to Jacob, never deviated.
Drug.
Well, I got news for you. It's still not deviated.
Amen. Drug.
These people over in the Middle East, and I say respectfully, these people, I don't mean that disparagingly. These people that think their own land of their own, they're going to find out when God brings back Israel, Jacob, to the land, bless God, that he promised Abraham.
That's right.
And you know what happened? God cleaned them all out then. God's going to clean them all out now. When he comes this next time, folks, he's going to clean it all out, clean it all up, make it all new, and he's going to put Israel right back where he said there's going to be every inch of it. Now, I know the world wouldn't accept that. I get that. Don't expect them to. Wouldn't want them to. If they ever got right with God, they'd accept it. But that's how it is. Then he says this on the very last one. These are the statutes and judgments and laws. I just sort of made a mental note there. God's laying the law down. You know, I realize we got people today that want to, and I know what they're talking about. I get it. I don't necessarily agree with them, but I get it. Oh, we're no longer under law. We're under grace. Folks, we're under God's law. Just sure as you're sitting there. God hadn't changed his law. He said, I didn't come to abolish it. I come to fulfill it. When God lays down the law's laid down to Jews and Gentiles. The difference being that God in his grace made a way for those who come to him to keep the law through Christ. He never did away with it. You just got to find a way to keep it. Because he says, this is my laws. This is my statutes. This is what I'm giving you. I've told you, you obey them, you get what? Blessing. If you disobey them, you get what? Well, you think that's different for Gentiles? That's not different, folks. The same calling goes to Gentiles that went to Jews. It's the same one. And the good part is this. He says, and even though you turn from me, even though you reject me, even though you walk contrary to me, if you'll turn back to me, I'll remove the curse. All you have to do is acknowledge that I'm right. That's not hard, folks. Look, that's what confession is. Confession's not going into a booth. Confession's just looking up and saying, God, you're right about it all. You're right about me. You're right about you. You're right about Christ. You're right about sin. You're right about blessing. You're right about cursing. You're right about the future. You're right about the end of the future. You're right about all of it. That's all you have to do. Then he says this, these are the statutes, judgment, laws which the Lord made between him and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. Now, if you would look at Isaiah 34. Isaiah 34. I'll give you plenty of time to get there because it takes me plenty of time to get there.
You said 34, right?
Yes. Now, we've heard from Moses, right? Because he said this is the law, this is my statutes, this is my law that I've given according to Moses. In other words, he gave it to Moses, Moses pinned it down, and he gave it to the people of Israel, right? Mm-hmm. Well, we've got another prophet now, Isaiah. What does Isaiah do? Well, he writes down what God tells him. What does Nick do this morning when he preaches? Well, I'm going to tell you what, if Nick ain't up there giving me thus saith the Lord, I don't want to hear him. He ain't got nothing for me, and I say that respectfully, sir. Hey, same way with me, teaching. If I come in here and just give you a few, I never will forget this. I won't mention any names, but there's this guy. I'm going to just tell it all. Y'all don't care, do you? I got kicked out of my class. I did. I got kicked out of my class. They took my class away from me. So I went in this other class. I'm not making this up now. The guy comes in with a newspaper. Well, I sat there 2 or 3 weeks. And so finally, I just couldn't take it anymore. And Tom. I said, listen, brother. There's not one thing in that newspaper that's going to help me, you, or anybody in this class tomorrow. I got up. I went out the door. I went to the pastor of that church. I said, either I get my class back or I'm gone. You know what? He said, well, you can start you one, you know, if anybody wants to come hear you. I said, well, okay. I'll start me one. I'll call it the Highways and Hedges. I think I had 3 the first Sunday. And then 5. And then 8. Then 12. Pretty soon I had full class. You say, Tommy, you're boasting on yourself. No. No, I'm not. What I'm trying to say is, we got to give this out.
That's right. Amen.
This all's going to help you tomorrow, Lynn.
That's right.
This all's going to help you tomorrow.
That's right.
This all's going to help you tomorrow. We got to give this out in an unadulterated way. Pure. So, here's what it says. Come near, ye nations, to hear and hearken. Now, ye nations refers to whom? Having trouble this morning. Huh? He didn't say Israel. He said, come, I want everybody to hear this, he says. And hearken, ye people, let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it, for the indignation of the Lord. Does that sound like something pleasing? God's mad about something. Have you ever been mad? Oh, it's okay to raise your hand. You ever been mad? You ever been mad and you just wanted to let somebody have it? Well, we were wrong to do that. And God ain't wrong to do it. When God gets angry, it's righteous anger, folks. When he shows indignation, he's got every right to show it. So he says this, for the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. In Revelations, it speaks of blood up to the horse's bridle. There's going to be so much slain, dead, slaughtered people that it says you can't even bury them. They're just going to stink. And the blood's going to look like mountains. Sounds to me like he's pretty angry. Well, he's got every right to be, folks. He's done everything for mankind. He's given everything for mankind. And for mankind to spit in his face. We deserve everything he wants to pour out if we do that. And all the host of heaven shall be, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a. Now I realize I could show you some commentaries of more learned men than I am, more educated men than I am, have doctorates and degrees in theology, and they would say, oh, this is just symbolism. Well, I don't see any symbolism there. It sounds to me like God's angry. It sounds to me like that anger, not only towards earth, it's towards heaven. I mean, doesn't he control it all? He created all. So he says, and the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and their host shall fall down as the leaf falleth off the vine. I don't know what it's like to have the planetary universe start falling out, but bless God, that's what's going to happen. You know, we worry sometimes about an asteroid. You know, there's an asteroid within 50,000 miles of Earth, but it never hits. I realize they say the dinosaurs are extinct because an asteroid hit Earth. I don't know, I wasn't here. God was there, and I don't read anything in his word about that. I'm not saying that's not true. I'm not a scientist. But if they think that's something, you wait until they all start falling. as a fig tree loses its untimely leaf. In other words, I've got this guy, well, not this guy, my neighbor. And I went down the other day to get the paper, and I thought, golly, man, what's all these leaves as you come into the drive here? So I went and got my blower, and I blowing all them leaves, you know. And I go back an hour and a half later, and they're there again. He said, Tom, that old cherry tree I've got there, he says this time of year it starts losing them leaves, and they just, you can't get them up fast enough. Well, imagine if that was the stars. Imagine that. Well, God says it's going to happen. Now, you can say it's symbolism if you want to. I say it's going to happen because that's what he says. And he says, and roll together a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth from the vine and as a falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edomia and upon the people of my curse. Oh. Oh. Well, I guess this is going to happen to them people. If I'm, no, I better not. I was going to whisper. This is going to happen to those who wanted to walk contrary to him, just like when he laid the law down and said, this is what's going to happen. I'll give you a curse. I'll give you a curse you won't believe. He says, and this is what happened. He says, the sword of the Lord is filled with blood, and it is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, and with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath sacrificed in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. Listen, when he rides out on that white horse, bless God, he's got blood all over him. Now, you can say that's symbolism if you want to. I say he's got blood all over him because he's angry. Remember what he said in Psalms? Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you just a little bit. In other words, you better come to him when you can. Because one of these days, if you refuse him, if you reject him, if you walk contrary to him, you're not going to like him. And he's certainly not going to like you. Now, look, if you will, over at Jeremiah chapter 29. Chapter 29. I'm not hurrying because I'm not going to get where I want to go, but that's okay. I'm not going any faster than it takes. Jeremiah chapter 29. Now, you'll recall that in Daniel, you say, Tom, you said Jeremiah. I know. I'm just giving you the background. In Daniel chapter 9, Daniel is praying. You remember that? And he is putting himself in the same mold as the children of Israel. And he's saying, Lord, we have sinned. We've done wrong before you, O God. Have mercy on us. And he prays that prayer. And at the end of that prayer, you remember God sends an angel to him. And he says, Daniel, listen, when you began to pray, the call went out and I was sent. Well, here's what Daniel was praying about in chapter 29. He says, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. Was that not what he said in Leviticus? He says, listen, when you are under the curse, if you will acknowledge why you're under it and who put you under it, and want out from under it, and want me to get you out from under it, I'll hear you. I'll hear you. And so he says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. I'll hear you. Why is that important? What makes that important right there? Help me out. Maybe I don't know. Why is that important? Well, let's come into the present time this morning. Let's come into this building this morning. Let's talk about the people under the sound of this gospel this morning. Let's talk about people inside this building this morning. It's the same promise to them. If you're sitting here and you're walking contrary to what I want you to walk to, if you're walking contrary to me, if you're walking in disobedience and you're under my curse, and you are, if you call out to me, hey, Lord, it's my fault. It's my sin. I'm under your curse because of me. And you're righteous in putting me there. But oh God, would you take me out from under it? Well, isn't that what it means when it says that he that calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? Well, saved means to deliver. To save means you're taken out from under that curse.
It means you're no longer there. It means
you've been transported from here to here. The promise is good. But there's coming a time this is what God's going to do, folks. He says, the time will come when you'll call, but I won't hear. That's the urgency of all this. So he says, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Why? Why? Because ye have said, the Lord hath raised us up prophets, because God in his mercy hath sent a preacher to tell me that if I repent and call out to him, bless God, he'll deliver me from the curse I'm under.
Amen.
Well, if it was true in Isaiah's time, it's true in my time and your time. God's not changed.
Right.
He says, I am the Lord, I change not. But we have to understand this. There's coming a time, I don't know when that time is. There's coming a time in every person's life when as a tree falleth, bless God, you fall under the curse and that's how you're going to be. In hell you'll lift up your eyes being in torment because you refused to walk with God, you chose to walk contrary to him. He's laid the law down. It's not going to change. I don't care how good a silver-tongued preacher wants to make it or a silver-tongued teacher wants to make it. I don't care how this world wants to paint it. Bless God, that's how it is. Now look, if you will, at Jeremiah 30. That's across the street. The word that came to Jeremiah
from the Lord.
That's why I give you this, folks. This is the word from the Lord. It's unchanged. He says, my word is forever settled in heaven. It's not going to change. The law is the law. I've laid the law down. That's up to you whether you're going to obey it or not. He says, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. Well, did he?
Yeah.
Well, you've got it. It's called the book of Jeremiah.
Right.
So it says, for lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and
Judah.
Oh, they're separated right now, aren't they? Saith the Lord, and I will cause them to
return
to the land that I gave to their. And they shall. That's the law. God says the day is coming when I'm going to take Israel, 10 tribes. I'm going to take Judah, 2 tribes. I'm going to put them back together. And I'm going to give them every inch of what I promised them.
That's right.
And Syria can't do nothing about it. Iran can't do nothing about it. Russia can't do nothing about it. China can't do nothing about it. The United States can't do nothing about it. Bless God, there ain't nobody. I know that's bad English. We got any young people in here. No one can do anything about it. Because it's God's word. And here's what he says. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of. When you heard the thunder, I guarantee you, not a person in here was thinking peace. I saw your faces, I saw your look. Some of you were scared, and I apologize for that. But folks, it's a fearful thing falling into the hands of the living God. I'd rather you be scared in here this morning than to be scared before him. Because when you're scared before me, you can still change. When you get for him, I'll let you decide that. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child, wherefore I do see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman. Listen, I know contrary to what you're hearing today, men can't have babies. I understand that. Bless God, they can't have babies. They can try all they want to. They'll never have a child. And I don't know. Never had any children of my own. I don't know what a woman has to go through to birth that child. But what this says is every man, woman, boy, and girl, bless God, is going to feel the pain. Huh? I realize that symbolism right there, because he says, as a woman that travaileth. So what he's saying is, you're all going to feel the pain, bless God. Because this ain't coming without pain. You know, there's an old saying, no pain, no gain. Bless God, there's going to be pain when God is going to restore the remnant of Israel. It's going to come with pain. That's what he says. Look, I'm just giving it to you. Alas. Y'all know what alas means, don't you? Huh? Oh, me. Oh, no. Ooh. Alas, for that day is... Yeah, maybe y'all ain't picking up with me. I'll just try to help you some more. It's all I know to do. Who's giving this word out? Huh? Well, since you answered, I'll come over here. Have you ever used the word great? I know you've said about him, oh boy, he's great. Yeah. You ever used, I know about that grandchild, oh, he's great. Right? When God says great, bless God, it's great. It's greater than anything you'll know. It's greater than anything I'll know. And God says, oh, behold, that day is great. He says, for behold, that day, alas, that day is great. So that none is, ain't going to be no day like this, he said. Ain't been one before, ain't going to be one after. This is going to be something else, if I could use my vernacular. It is even the time of Israel and Judah's trouble. I'll read that again. Maybe y'all didn't hear me. It is even the time of Israel and Judah's trouble. Thank you, brother. Thank you. No, it ain't the time of Israel and Judah's trouble. It's the time of Jacob's trouble, my friend. Jacob's where it all started. When Jacob was announced, there's 12 tribes. Huh? When Israel was first put in, there's 12 tribes. It was their own doings that they split it up. Well, God's going to put it back together. And it's going to be trouble for them, but he's going to do it. Why? Because they're going to be blessed. Why? Because the remnant has said, Lord, it's our fault. You're righteous in punishing us. Your righteousness in having us under the curse, we just want out. And we want to repent of walking contrary to you. And he says, oh, that's going to be a tough day. He says, it's even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall, ooh, glory. Hallelujah is what I say. He shall be saved out of it. Oh, you're going to feel pain. You're going to see death. But everyone that calls on the name of the Lord, live by God the same way as it is today. He that calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All Israel, he says, shall be saved. Well, not every Jew, just all Israel. Everyone that says to him, oh God, we're wrong. We're wrong. You're right. Our sin is wrong. You're right. Forgive us of our sins, O God. And forgive us our debts, O God. And let us pay the price with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to be fine. They're going to be fine. And he says this. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke off from his neck. I will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king. Well, he ain't talking about David there, bless God. He's talking about Jesus. Remember when it said, I got to quit here in just a second. He said, remember in chapter 5, chapter 5 where he's talking about the lamb. And remember he said that he is the line of the tribe of Judah, which meant the divinity line. And he is the root of David, which means he's heir to the throne. Well, that's what he's saying here. So he's not talking present. He's talking future tense, folks. Yeah. He says, "For I will save thee from afar and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob, and Jacob shall return." God's going to restore Israel. You say, "Well, Tom, we're Gentiles." Yeah. And our time's coming to an end too, folks. For the fullness of the Gentiles is coming. There'll be a day, bless God, when God's going to turn his attention away from Gentiles and back to Jacob. It's not complicated for God. It might be a little complicated for this old boy, but I don't have to figure it out. I just have to believe it. So he said, "No, 2 minutes, and I promise I'm done. For I am with thee." Oh, glory. "I am with thee, saith the Lord, to though I make a full end of..." I'm going to kill everybody around, but I'm going to save you. That's what he says. "I'm going to kill everybody in this room, but I'm going to save you." Wouldn't you like to be one of them? Well, bless God, if you know him as Savior, you are. You're saved. You're safe. You're okay. But for those who want to walk contrary, for those who don't want to obey his law, I'll let you figure it out. See you next week. We'll try to get there some way.